God for all of the people in the house of the Lord, because I do feel love from each and every one, and we are grateful. So we're going to pray, and we're going to move forward in what God has given us to say this morning. We hope when you come to the house of the Lord, you come to hear from the Lord. Amen. I just want to encourage you, and it's good to certainly honor your preacher. The Bible teaches us to even give double honor to those who walk worthy. And Pastor West walks worthy, and we want to give him double honor. So it's not an indictment against him. Don't leave the church saying that. But when you come to the house of the Lord, come to hear from Jesus. Come to hear from the Lord. It is God who is active in our lives that brings about the fruitfulness of the Spirit in our lives. Come to hear from him, because guess what? God comes to his house to hear from you. We come looking for God. God said, I'm here looking for you. Where you been at? I'm here to see you. And he covers up his blessing and his Spirit and his joy. So come to the house of the Lord with a heart of joy, with a mindset to hear from the Lord, and a willingness, this is the big one, a willingness to do what he says for you to do. What he says for you to do. So we're going to pray, and we're going to move forward, and we just thank God for everything. I want Tadiwa to know, and Tadiwa is a young daughter who is in our singles class. I'm using the technology today. All right? Amen. They're always on me. You know, I made the mistake in a single one night talking about a blackboard. We need a blackboard. She looked at me like, you know, nobody's using blackboards in, you know, anymore. I say, then dry erase board, you know, trying to catch up. And then they got interactive boards and PCs and everything. So she keeps me straight, and I appreciate her so very much. We're going to pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Father God, you are truly good to us. You are there when we call upon your name, Lord, and you always answer no matter what the request. Father God, you see us in our victories and you see us in our defeats, but your love never ceases. We thank you because you care for us, Lord. You watch over us, Lord. You call us your own, and we are grateful. We ask that you have your way this morning, that you bless our hearts and that you bless our minds with your Spirit, with your presence, and with your power. And we pray, Father God, that you speak to our hearts the things that you desire for us to hear and to chew on and to grow in. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, our scripture for today can be found in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Verse of scripture may be very familiar to many of us, but its application is something that we should hold fast to, because it can be applied to so many different areas of our lives. And that verse of scripture reads, the soul of him who is lifted up is not upright within him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. I've always wanted to do this because I've heard other preachers do it before, so I figure I'm going to take this morning to do it. Look to your neighbor and say to them, how you living? All right. Look to the other side, to your other neighbor, even if you don't like them. Look to them and just say to them, how you living? Yeah. Now, I know I just terrified some English teachers, but anyway, that's the way we wanted to say it this morning. How are you living? How are you living? Praise God. The background of Habakkuk, he's a prophet of the Lord. God has shared with him the coming judgment of Israel, the coming judgment. Unlike other prophets, in the book of Habakkuk, we don't see where there's going to be this wonderful hope afterwards. God has had enough. He's had enough. Judgment is coming. By the way, we want to have the right outlook on what judgment really is. Judgment is not so much for God's desire to cut someone off. Judgment is God cleaning up the things that are not pleasing in his sight in the lives of his people. The unrighteous cannot lay claim to it. They get to experience God's wrath. We don't want to experience that. But we, the children of the living God, can always count on our Heavenly Father to chastise us. That's not punishment, by the way. Again, to chastise is to shape and to carve away and to make a thing right, to make a thing pleasing in your eyesight. So the children of Israel had exhausted at this particular point in time the escape from God's judgment. God tells Habakkuk, look, you know what? I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, the people of Babylon, and they're going to come into the land of Israel, and they're going to take my people captive. Habakkuk just accepts it. He doesn't look at God and go, well, Lord, maybe if we pray hard enough, or, you know, we remember like Jonah, you know, the people of Nineveh fasted and God spared them and everything. We don't even see this outlet. God just tells him plain. Habakkuk accepts it and he moves on. But God never leaves us without hope. Never leaves us without hope. God encourages Habakkuk to be faithful, for the just shall live by his faith. By his faith. We face times that we will have to live by faith. I was delighted when the Lord gave me this scripture, said, this is what I want you to speak about this morning. It's a strong reference that comes with it. As we stated earlier, it can be applied to just about every area of the life of the saint. I say the saint because unless we are just, we cannot rightfully lay claim to the promises of God. We have to be just. The Bible is for the saints of God. The Bible teaches us about who God is. Before we know the Lord, the Bible will not make full sense to us, although its principles and practices will benefit even the sinner if they follow them. But the word of God to the sinner, as it was to all of us, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. His word to the sinner is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But his word to the believer, his word to the believer is to believe on Jesus Christ, my son, who I have sent. So we see this passage, it's directed to those who God has identified as just. We want to make it plain to us this morning. We are not justified before God until we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is the one who makes us right before God. Even though God foreknew you and them he foreknew, he also justified. That's a whole new different lesson. We don't have time to go through that this morning. So from before the foundation of the world, God foreknew you, he justified you, but justification, while ordained by God in the dateless past, manifests itself through belief in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Jesus justifies his people before the Lord. How did he do it? By staying on the cross till it was finished. Huh? Stayed on until it was finished. He didn't stop until everything that God had purposed for you was complete. He even went through being abandoned by God. Prove it? Okay. Does not the scripture say that Christ hung on the cross and said to the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then a little bit later, he just said, it's finished, and gave up the ghost. And our salvation was made complete. He validated what God had purposed for each and every one of us who believes on his name. We are the just people, those who believe upon Jesus Christ. And this passage of scripture is directed to us. We have to get that down. You know, justification is not sanctimonious living and religious presentation. It's not brought about by obeying the laws and the rules. Justification is because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. And then we are justified when that justification has been validated by our confession and our repentance. Those two go together. The devil knows Jesus is the Lord. Satan has not repented, so he won't be partaking in the eternal life that we will be partaking in. So confession with repentance starts the sanctification process in our lives. And we are just before God, and the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ in each and every way cleanses us from the eternal consequence of sin. By the way, sin always brings about death. Always brings about death. But the verse is, the just shall not die, but they shall live. They shall live. Ask someone, how are you living? How are you living? Jesus proclaimed himself, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life in its fullest measure. As people of God, we so often live beneath what the Lord has provided for us. We live beneath it. If we're not living with Jesus, then we are of that group that are truly the walking dead. Life does not come until we know Christ. Doesn't matter how big your house is. I'm glad you're in a big house if you're in a big house. Has nothing to do with what we ride, how well we dress, how wonderful the restaurants we are, how big we vacation. Those are good things. Those are good activities. But activity is not always life. When we speak in the spiritual context, it's not always life. Life comes through Christ. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. As people of God, we want to live. And we want to live a life that is abundant. Not so much abundant with things, but abundant with the experience of God's presence in our everyday life. We come to his house on Sunday, but guess what? God lives with us and within us every day of the week. He is life. Without Jesus, we will say it again, you have no life. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself by saying, well, I'm good enough. I can make it on my own. Because if we live for Jesus, life in Him is going to reveal itself in such a way that at some point, if you keep maturing in Him, you're going to say, I can't do this. Oh, yeah. Keep growing in the Lord. Keep praising His name. Keep glorifying Him. Keep praying. Keep seeking Him's face, His face. Keep asking the Lord, your will be done. Eventually, you're going to say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't take it no more. See, living holy is going to require something of you. Living holy sometimes is going to make you uncomfortable. Living holy sometimes is going to challenge your thought process. Living holy is going to cause you to abandon all reason if we're going to live righteously before the Lord. See, God has one simple message to His people. Very simple. Do what I say. In a nutshell, that's what it comes down to. We're the ones who complicate it. God simply wants us to be obedient to His command. He doesn't care about what the one across town is doing. He doesn't care about what the one on the television is doing. It doesn't matter to Him. He wants you to be obedient to what He has spoken for you to do. We try to reason with ourselves sometimes and say, well, Lord, if I do that, then it's going to impact this. God says, be obedient. Do what I say. And since, like sometimes of our natural children, being God's spiritual children, we don't want to do that. We want to live according to our own opinion, rather than live according to the directive of the living God. In effect, we're saying to Him, Father God, I know best about me. I know best about me. We get confused in our thought process. We think when God directs us to do something, He's asking for our opinion. We get confused in our thinking. We're thinking, well, God, you told me to do this, but it's optional. That's not how it goes according to the scripture. Christ was obedient even unto the death on the cross. Sure. We have to do what God asks us to do. That is living. Doing what God says to do. When we don't do what God asks us to do, it is sin, and sin brings forth death. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it doesn't always mean physical death, but somewhere, something in our life is dying when we disobey God. And saints of God, has always been that way. The moment Adam ate from the fruit, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he began to die. That abundant peace, that abundant joy, that abundant sense of being began to deteriorate right then and there. Some of it died immediately. He no longer ran to be before the presence of the living God. God had to go looking for him. And we know God know where we at now. His eyes in every place, beholding the evil and the good. But God will challenge us sometimes to think about what we're doing. And Adam had to, you know, look, I got to hide now. Something inside is not right. Let me go. Let's put these leaves on or something. I got to cover up this thing that I have done. The Bible teaches us in the King James Version that the voice of the Lord went walking through the garden. And he called out to Adam. And it kind of reads, well, where are you? If we search some of that Hebrew, God was saying, you're not where you're supposed to be. And when we don't practice obedience to the Lord, sometimes he's going to show up and we're not going to be where we're supposed to be. In the presence of the living God, there is abundance of life. There's more than enough. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, not tepid water, not stagnant water. Not a pool with all that algae and fungus all over. No, living water. Abundance. Overflow. Enough for you to live and cost to live. Christ is life sustaining. I want to encourage all of us, tune in with what the Holy Spirit is saying to our lives so that we might live. Tune into it. You can ask your neighbor again, how you living? See, that goes both ways. If they living out of order, you asking them, well, look, how are you surviving? You out of order. You know God ain't tell you to do that. I don't know what happened when people say, well, look, never tell somebody what God didn't tell them to do. I don't understand that. Because God is not going to tell people to do anything contrary to his written word. So if I see you doing something that is contrary to his written word, I feel because I love you, then it's important that I, in love, share with you the error of your ways. See, we don't want to take ownership of being in error sometimes. I can't speak for you all. Since I've been saved, there have been times I have disobeyed God. Let you on another little secret. It wasn't an accident either. Don't do that, William. It's going to cost you. God, I got this. I'll holler at you when I need your help. Guess what? It wasn't long until I needed his help. And I did cry out to him, and he came, and he what? Redeemed me, restored me, revived me, put me back in my right place before his presence. It's a shame sometimes we think we're smarter than God. We know better than he does. You know, God been around a long time. He's seen some things. He's experienced some things. He's brought some things to pass. And he is the only one who has power to overthrow and overcome anything that comes against you. When the world comes against you and says, if you continue to follow God, you are going to be destroyed. Be strong enough to stand fast into what Christ has said. And that is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Your enemies cannot destroy you if you are in Christ. Your enemies become God's enemies when they come against you and you are walking upright. The enemy wants to terrorize you by making you think he is going to be allowed to kill you. But in Christ we have life and life eternal, an abundant life in this natural state and an eternal life when we go to glory. Yeah, well, life is miserable. I got problems. Well, everybody's got problems. Saved, unsaved, everybody got problems. Sure. Now, there are different problems. Hopefully, if you're a saint to God, your problem ain't the police coming to get you in the morning. Huh? Hopefully, the tax man not coming to take one of your children away. Some of us would go, well, I wish he would, but, you know. God is able to overcome medical problems, legal problems, financial problems, relational problems, emotional problems, mental problems. God is a problem solver because problems have to do with death. God is about life. He's not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. Hmm? The scriptures prove this out. Jesus said, no man is taking my life from me. But because I love you, because I'm obedient to God, I'm going to lay it down. I like the way he finished it up. He said, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. Glory be to God. Just stop yourself from living. Able to just stop yourself from living and then able to what? Revive yourself. Not reanimate, but resurrect. I make the distinction because Jesus will never die again. He lives forever. See, there were others in scripture who came back to life by the power of the living God. You know, Lazarus came out of the grave after 4 days, but later on he had to lay down to sleep again. Jesus rose and ascended unto the Father and is right now at the right hand making intercession for you no matter what circumstance you find yourself in. Making intercession for you. Jesus is talking to the Father about you. Father, let them live. How you living? I should say it this way. First, are you just? Have you been justified? Do you know him? And then how are you living? The just shall live. The just shall live. You know, that moves us on. That moves us from what could be, what might be, to what will be, to what is. When God tell you something, that's how it is. That's how it is. Father, I don't know. I just can't make it. Peace be still. Huh? God will tell you, my word says, I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. God's word will tell us, see, that he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Sound mind. Don't worry about if the neighbor tell you, well, you just a Jesus freak, and you did, yeah, just be a freak for Jesus then. Don't feel bad about it. They were going to talk about you anyway. You know, we not avoiding it. You know? Sure. Well, Father God, I'm being persecuted. But you shall live. You shall live in me. Don't embrace the criticism. It does hurt. It does make you feel bad. Sometimes it comes from the coworker. Sometimes it comes from the person down the block. Guess what? Sometimes it'll come right out of your own family. But in Christ, you can take it. You can be victorious in Christ. What do I mean by being victorious? That don't mean because they said that about you, you going over and curse them out. Stop talking to them for 20 years. Because you upset. Well, you remember you said this about me. What you going to do when they look at you and say, yeah, I remember. What about it? You're going to make it in Christ. Be encouraged, saints. God is for you. All right, then. Praise his name. Since he is for you, he is more than the whole world against you. If you are with God and God is with you, Nothing can overcome you. Nothing can overcome you. The just shall live. I am alive spiritually, mentally, emotionally because of Christ. I won't get to that last part. We're going to skip a word and we're going to go to the last little statement. And how shall this be done? By faith. By faith. Faith is a word that's universally misunderstood sometimes. Sometimes we think faith is make-believe. It's not make-believe. Sometimes we confuse faith with hope. Heard it said before, somebody say, I ain't living off faith, I'm living off wish. I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. I hope this would happen. I hope that would happen. Faith is very tangible to the just people of the living God. It's very tangible. When we belong to Christ, when we are in Christ, it almost takes much more work to disbelieve than to believe. Faith is tangible. The Greek word, pistis, pistis. Okay? It kind of means to follow, to track. The sense of it is, I'm walking in God's footsteps. Persuasive. It has to do with persuasion in the Greek. Pistis. I'm tracking. God went this way, so I'm going that way. God decided to go this way, so I'm going this way. That's what faith is about. We have the example and the principle of the living God so that we may follow his path to life. May follow. What? I'm following the persuasion of God. And if we follow the persuasion of God, if we are walking in his footsteps, if we're walking in his footsteps, how can we go wrong? How can we go wrong? We'll use another word picture for you. You know how in the winter someone has walked through the snow? You try to go your own way, it's trudging. But guess what? If you follow in their footsteps, I'll say it this way, especially if they got big feet. If you follow in their footsteps, your way is somewhat easy. It's the same snow. It's the same cold. It's the same hazards if you fall down in it. But because someone has gone before you to show you the way, your pathway has been made easy. The Bible teaches us it is the way of the transgressor that is hard. It is difficult when we seek to go outside of God's design, plan, purpose, glory for our individual life, that life becomes more difficult. Didn't say you weren't going to have problems as a saint of God. That is a false doctrine. When you are told that you don't have to suffer if you get saved, someone has lied to you. Everybody in the Bible who was anything in God suffered, was persecuted, was put down. Their faith was challenged. Jesus even said it this way, in this world you shall have persecution, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If we believe, we will continue in life. Pistis, faith. And I love the Hebrew word, imano. And there are some other derivatives of it. So when you look it up, if you see it in a different word, you know, don't jump on me. Just go to this text and look it up, you know, because there are many different words sometimes mean similar or the same things when you look at some of the ancient languages. But imano. Or emuna, faith. It has to do with certainty. With certainty. See, faith is tangible. We think it's just something out there in the air, and if I think about this long enough, then it's going to happen. Faith is much more concrete than that. It's more than a mental exercise. The Hebrew language is a concrete language. It's a concrete language. Faith meant something in the Hebrew. Faith meant what? This shall be. There's a certainty to it. It's validated. And when we believe God's word, it's been validated. He's put a stamp of approval on it. He says, this is how it is. This is how it is. So we want to be mindful of that. It takes more energy not to believe God than it does to believe God. We find over in the book of Hebrews, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For in order to please God, one must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who generously seek him diligently. It says diligently. It doesn't say generously, but you could add it. Don't add it because we shouldn't add to the word of God. So I got to get it right because I got Dave in the back who's a prominent preacher himself. He can challenge me on that later. So I have to get it. Those who diligently seek him, diligently seek him, diligently seek him. It's important. You know, when God wants us to gain something, he repeats it in scripture. Interestingly enough, this passage, the just shall live by his faith, is found, in addition to Habakkuk, is found three other times in scripture. And those three other times are all in the New Testament. See, God was thinking about us then for what he wanted to say to us now. We shall live by faith. How are you living? God's word is for you. God's word is true. God's word is right. Okay. Faith, again, in the Hebrew context, is foundational. What about that word foundational? Faith can be built upon. You have a platform, you have a base, and then you begin to erect a life as a saint of God by faith. They were talking about it in Sunday school this morning. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That is getting a right understanding about the word of God. Now, if we make something up and just ascribe it to God, that may not happen. I just want you to know that. Because we have plenty in the world today that say, God told me. And as my grandmother would say, God ain't bit more told. But faith is foundational. We can build upon faith. We do it by studying the word and comprehension of his word. Comprehension. Get the right context. That way you won't embarrass yourself. You won't be out in front of somebody saying, well, God such and such and such and such. And have taken a verse out of context, and so therefore it has no foundation to back it up. But anything that God has said, you can say with confidence. You can say it with confidence. Because God has validated and confirmed it. It's foundational. Okay? Faith involves the whole nefesh. That's another Hebrew word. That word means soul. But when we look at it, the deeper part of its meaning, it's the mind, it's the soul, it's the body, and it's the spirit. It's your whole essence. Faith requires a complete work in you. A complete work. All of you is involved when it comes to faith. Faith comes by hearing. hearing by the word of God. The just shall live by faith. I shall live by what I have heard God say. When we do that, that's when we are truly living. When we do that, that's when we are lights in this world. That's when we are salt in the earth. Be okay with God directing your life. So what is not what you intended? God is in charge. Be okay with that. Be okay with God telling you no. Be okay with God telling you, let it go. He's telling you for a reason. It's killing you. Let it go. It's never going to satisfy if God has told you, ask you. You'll start out asking. You know, God humbles himself too. He'll start out asking, son, daughter, would you such and such? You know. And then we act like we can't hear and, you know, tell ourselves, well, I got to go get confirmation to somebody. That's another thing I want to understand in the church world. If God has told you something, why are you going to have to get confirmation from another human being if you know God has already told you something? I don't understand it. As if my neighbor's going to make it right. Okay, God, well, I'll do what you say because she said, you know, yeah. No. Live for reckless abandon. Live for him. Rejoice in him. Don't make him go from asking to telling to disrupting. And then finally, because his will is going to always be done, have him just snatch it from you. That always hurts. Don't put your heavenly Father in that position. That he has to take away the thing that you said, Lord, my whole life belongs to you. Anything in it, you can have it, Lord. And then he has to snatch it from you. What it's saying, I don't want anyone to think I'm taking it out of context. It says it's more blessed to give than to receive. That likewise means to God. It's more blessed to give to God, to honor him, to glorify him with our everyday existence, our everyday life. That is true living. We're going to wrap it up. But God breathed. And man became a living soul. A living soul. Let God breathe through you. Ask your neighbor one more time. How you living? You living by faith? You living by faith? Are you just? We got to be living by faith. And God will do it. Praise his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's First Assembly podcast. If you've ever been impacted by a First Assembly service, we would love to hear about it. To share what God is doing in your life, be sure to email us at amen@firstassembly.org. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.